As we celebrate heritage, sisters and brothers, we recognize that the heritage that we are celebrating is something that comes or belongs to us by reason of birth or by reason of our inheritance. So, what is it that belongs to us that we are celebrating today because it was passed down to us? Well, we have a lot to celebrate. We want to give God thanks, for instance, to the creativity, the creative energies of this congregation, the ability of this church to put words together. And so we celebrate the song of our dear sister, Sister Nadine Blair. What a beautiful song that we can sing together as a congregation. And I think we need to put our hands together for our sister, who is also a songwriter. Now, many of us, we are very, you know, grateful for the songs of North America, and we celebrate these North American singers and writers. But we have our own singers in Jamaica and our own singers and writers in 65, and we celebrate that. Amen. Praise God. Brother Ofneil is our music director, and he's also a writer. And in fact, just recently, he wrote a song, and it came right up on the charts there. And we celebrate our brother Ofneil, and I want you to put your hands together for him. And maybe last year or year before last, Sister Notice gave the same treatment. Yes, and got the same results. And we want to give God thanks for how he used her to write that song and to promote it. We have to celebrate our heroes, our creative persons, and we give God thanks that in this congregation, we have persons who have written songs that are nationally recognized, rated, and respected, and produced. What a church! We give God thanks. I also want to give God thanks for those of us who are working in media and communications, headed by our sister Sophia Lewis. What a wonderful production that they presented on the screen today as we celebrate our persons on the front line. We celebrate those on the front line, but we celebrate those who are able to put that together so creatively, like, say, a TVJ and a CVM we are watching. Don't. It really was a very good production. Hey, just show them some love at this time. They did very well. And for all our sisters and brothers on the front lines, yes, Detective Sergeant and JUTC Driver and our teacher and our, who else again? Our doctor. We want to give God thanks for all of them. And some of them are on my screen. That's what we call it, you know, screen. Screen, all right? And we want to celebrate all of them that we are even having a look at today. They are in different professions, and they are on the front line. We are so very proud of them in this season of pandemic. Why don't you give all our frontliners a big hand? Indeed, this church has a great heritage, and we want to celebrate the heritage of Waltham Park Road. We have persons that have left behind a great heritage for us, and we are walking in that heritage, and we give God thanks for them. What a heritage that we are creating, a heritage of creativity, a heritage of songwriting, a heritage of frontliners who are doing great things in the midst of a pandemic. Yes, brothers and sisters. And we have other kinds of persons and heritage that we can celebrate in this church. It's a great thing. And so as we look at Acts chapter 4 from verse 32 to the end, and Acts chapter 5, 1 to 6, we also have another heritage that we want to lift up. And in fact, it's a heritage that has been going on in this very congregation that has caused this congregation to be like this. We call it a heritage of stewardship. A heritage of stewardship. And when we talk about a heritage of stewardship, we look and can actually divide stewardship in three different dimensions. The first is our time. You have to be able to manage time. We have been given this great resource called time, and we have to manage it well, not true? And how you manage your time determines what you will become in the future. Then we also have our talents. Of course, we have talents. Some of us can sing well. Well, sing good, man. Some of us can usher well. Well, usher good, man. Some of us can deek well. Some of us can. We're preachers and we're preaching. Whatever your talent, you must use it for the kingdom of God. Oh, the songwriter says, one talent have I to do what? Take to the sky. While others are blessed with 10 of the best. You know, some people are so gifted. They have all of these talents. But why should I complain? My duty, refrain. Oh, never. Oh, never. Not I. I'm going to use my one talent. And then some of us have treasures. In other words, God has given us some assets that we can use and give back to our God. Well, that is the main focus of our attention today as we look at this text and we see in it some very, very great challenges that we identify. The first one is that we should maximize the money. Let me hear you say maximize the money. Yes, maximize the money. And then secondly, as we look at the heritage of stewardship, we should manage the meager. Let me hear you say, manage the meager. Yeah. You must talk to me in a church. And then the third thing I notice is that the text is saying that we must miracle the moment. Miracle the moment. Let me hear you say, miracle the moment. That's right. Yes, indeed. We should maximize the money. We should manage the meager. And we should miracle the moment. Now, these three are very, very important things as we think about stewardship, because it is important to note that you just can't come to church, have a good singing time, and go home and think you're going to grow. It doesn't work like that. All right? We have to dig into the text, and we have to pick out of the text those things that will help us to move from one level to the other. And as we sing, it prepares our hearts to learn the truths that comes out of God's word. So this morning, I want to challenge you on these three. Maximize the money, manage the meager, and miracle the moment. Hey, let's look at the first. The first is that we should maximize the money. The heritage that the early church was establishing was a maximization of the monies received by the church. That's the heritage. They were open to receiving large sums of monies and gifts and resources for the operation of the church. So verse 34 of Acts chapter 4 that we read earlier, it tells us that from time to time, those who owned land, take note of what they owned. From time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. Look at the big capital items. Look at the big capital items that were brought for sale so that the funds could be presented at the apostles' feet. Yes, look at it. We see land and houses. These items were not just major, but they were also sentimental, dear to the hearts of those who owned them. These members were willing to part ways with their most expensive and sentimental assets for the kingdom's sake. Their land and their houses. They were willing to give to God a big offering. Now, those of you who have a house and you have paid off for your house already, from Victoria Mutual or whichever other Victoria Mutual or whichever other building society or NHT or whichever one, and you have paid off for that house. You think now of putting your house on the market and taking all of that $50 million that your house is valued, Councillor Ekebele, and carrying it to put at the apostles' feet. That's what they did. That's what they did. This maximizing the money offering did not just begin in Acts chapter 4. It seemed to have now been a heritage from chapter 2. At the church's inauguration ceremony, at the beginning of the church, under the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, we are told in Acts chapter 2 from verse 44 to verse 45, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Yes, my sisters and brothers, the text here tells us that they sold property and possessions. From day one, there was a spirit of generosity and giving amongst the believers. What a church. No wonder the church grew so much. That's really the key. No wonder the church was so vibrant and healthy. They were a church that was a giving church. The maximizing the money offering started therefore in chapter 2. It continued in chapter 4. But did it stop there? No. Even outside of the book of Acts, even outside of the Jews, into the Gentiles, it continued and was sustained in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 from verse 2 to 3. Listen to what it says. Paul showed how the believers who gave their offerings out of their poverty also gave out of their rich generosity. I want you to note, therefore, two qualities that seem to be miles apart, yet it came together under one believer. It says that they were extremely poor, but richly generous. How can you be the two at the same time? How can you be poor but generous at the same time? You see, it is a matter of the heart. It is not a matter of the pocket. It doesn't matter how rich you are. You can still be generous even in the midst of poverty. Sisters and brothers, a rich heritage was established for the Christian church in the first century. And that heritage must continue throughout this day. That is a rich heritage that we have as a church today. This is something that we must continue. God's people must never be afraid. Whether you are in person or right on stream, you must never be afraid to give to his work. We must give generously. We must give cheerfully. We must give with one heart and one mind. We must give with a strong desire to pour out lavishly to our Lord. We must dash it upon Jesus without warning. Yes, my friends, as an early church, a new community, they were establishing a new value system. Yes, the heritage of stewardship not only caused the believers to maximize the money, but it caused the believers also to manage the meager. Yes. And when I say meager, I feel so very out of place. Because when I'm talking in Jamaica, I do not say meager. I say what? Yes. And some of you who like to still talk speaky-spoky, even when you're speaking Jamaican, you say mager. But it's not mager. It's what? Yes, maga. What is this in the chat? Maga. And if you are streaming, I want you to go into the chat right now and spell maga. How do you spell maga? Maybe those from Scotland can tell us how MAGA is spelt. Whoa, MAGA. Yes, you must manage the MEGA. The text tells us that the offerings were definitely centralized in one location. So Acts chapter 4, verse 34 tells us, "For from time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them, brought the money from the sales," and verse 35 says, "and put it at the apostles' feet." These believers did not go off on their own frolic to establish how the offering would be spent. They didn't get their pay and decided, okay, I'm going to take out this percentage and I'm going to do the X, Y, and Z. I am not going to give the church anything because I know how to spend it more than the church. So all of the monies that I'm going to give away, I'm going to go downtown and I'm going to see this madman and God is going to be pleased with me because I am doing a fine work. No, that's not what they did. They took all of the $50 million that they got from the big mansion that they had, that they sold. And the Bible said they carried every single bit of it and they placed it. Why? We can't say why in a stream. That is acceptable. Why? They carried every single cent and they didn't say, "I'm going." Listen, if they gave 25 million to the apostles' feet, that would sound very good. That would seem reasonable. But they never did that. They took 100% and they placed it. They never took out a piece and said, "I am going to Devon House ice cream and I'm going to purchase some wonderful Devon House ice cream. Oh my God. And share it with a friend of mine that I am trying to entice." No, sir. Oh no, they didn't do that. Their Devon House ice cream money was different from their apostles' feet money. The parallel passage to this in the Old Testament is Malachi chapter 3. How many of you are not amen right about now? Where? Oh, the church seems so quiet. We don't understand what I'm going on. We're not here now. We're not here now. When I say amen now, do. In a chat, just give me an amen now. Please, on the stream, give me an amen. Give me an amen. Yes. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 is a parallel passage. It says, "Bring ye," listen to it. It says, "Bring ye all," not a part, not most, not almost everything. It says, "Bring ye all the tithe and the offering into the storehouse," into this one place. We're talking about managing the meager. "That there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now." Have you ever done mathematics and you had to do proofs? Oh yes, I know one brother who had to do that time and time again. His name is Dean Hugh Thompson. He had to learn to do these proofs mathematically. And so we notice that the scripture says, "I want you to prove me." In fact, Jesus said, "Fair, fair, fair." What fair mean? Jesus said, "Put it down there. If you're bad, put it down there." You know what I'm preaching there, my girl? Jesus said, look here. If you think you're saved, if you think you're holy, put down the 100% right here, so. And make assure you something. Let me prove to you who I am. I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And listen to what the scripture says, that there shall be room enough to receive. Indeed, the text is encouraging us to bring the tithe into the where? Into the storehouse. Not into the home for the age, into the storehouse.
Not into the PTA. Into the storehouse. Yes, my sisters and brothers, there was a centralized zone where that offering was supposed to be brought. Yes, indeed. It was placed in the New Testament at the apostles' feet. In the Old Testament, in the storehouse, wherever it was always placed at a centralized spiritual location. Yes, my friends, it was done for the glory of God. Those who are placed in leadership must manage the funds of the church well. Resources will always be meager. It will always be small. They say that's what economics is. The distribution of resources amongst, of scarce resources amongst competing ends. There will never be enough to share between all the competing ends. It behoves us as leaders, therefore, to manage the meager. We must manage the scarce resources as they are placed at our feet. If our heritage is going to remain fruitful, we must manage the meager well. You hear, counselor, you hear, pastor, people cannot be giving offering and it is not managed well. So therefore, on this heritage weekend, permit me as a pastor with a national responsibility to go outside of our church to touch on a sensitive subject. We thank God for our national leaders in Jamaica over the years and across administrations. We celebrate the support that they have given to us people. Some of them have given us free education. Some have given us free health service. Some have promised to give us almost free housing. Some of us say that we're going to get work, more work, lots of commitments made. We celebrate all of those things. What we want to remind them about, however, is that they are not there to put their hands into the public purse for their own good. You mustn't put your hand in at the till. They must be satisfied with the salary they agreed to have. Yes, they knew how much they were going to get before they get into the position. Stop thief out the taxes out of the till in Jesus' name. And not because we have on green today, we now go clap for the one day. Why? From one administration to another, from one party to another, from one government to another, we have been hearing of how money a thief in the name of Jesus. Top it. Give me some more amen for that. Lord, have mercy. Yes, I am tired of hearing of politicians' corrupt practice of creaming off public cash for their own comfort. It must not continue. It's time for it to stop in the name of Jesus. One report, if you think I am joking, has us scoring 43 out of 100. So we could call that 43% out of 100 on the corruption perception index scale. 43 is pass or fail. I feel that. Come on. You know, so I don't talk to me. What do you think? What do you think? Say spy there for Karen to go to prison afterwards. No spy not there. If me I talk truth, preach with me this morning, just like how you preached last week and week before and the week before. Come on, man. If we don't stand up for righteousness, if we don't stand up for justice in Jamaica as a church, who will? Who will? Who will? Do you know that when they were having elections, they say, the electorate say, we are not interested in corruption. They say, put the argument of corruption aside. We don't want to know about that. Can we know some man have a teeth? Foolishness. Foolishness. in the name of Jesus. Foolishness. Because if that continues, this country will forever wallow in poverty.
Yes, 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 yes. Mighty God. So as we talk about a heritage of stewardship, we are learning from our godly heritage, coming from the early church, that there ought to be a maximizing of the money, a managing of the meager, but we also must miracle the moment. The text tells us of two cases of individuals selling land and presenting the income to the apostles, right there in the text. The first case is seen in Acts chapter 4 from verse 36 and onward, which is that of a gentleman called Joseph. He was a Levite, but was renamed Barnabas, which means a son of encouragement. Barnabas sold a field he owned in verse 37 and brought the money and put it at the same place. Where he brought it and put it? At the apostles' feet. Yes, he did. This same Barnabas who sold the property and brought the money, placed it at the apostles' feet, went on to be the Apostle Paul's partner in ministry. Afterwards, it is said that he, having separated from Paul, went on to become a great missionary and in the process groomed John Mark, who became profitable to Paul in the future. Barnabas indeed ultimately became one of the first Christian heroes. Yes, he was a leader at the headquarters church in Jerusalem. He provided powerful support for the church in Antioch. He stuck with John Mark when John Mark was thrown under the bus by Apostle Paul. Barnabas was a powerful man of God. He was a powerful man. He became a hero. But next to Barnabas, in the very next passage, in the very next verse, the Bible tells us of Ananias and Sapphira. They also, like Barnabas, sold property. They also, like Barnabas, came to the apostles with money and placed it at the apostles' feet. But it was only a part. As they presented a part, deceiving the leadership that it was all they had, they fell down and died. Both of them, Ananias and Sapphira, died in the presence of the Holy Ghost right at the apostles' feet where their offerings were placed. In one case, the giver of the offering lived and became a hero. But in the other case, the givers of the offerings died and became a zero. What's the difference between the two? One who lived and the other who died. They didn't give their all. They didn't give their all. They gave a part and deceived the world in the midst of the giving of a part that it was their all. My friends, giving a part never ever work out. Giving a part never ever pans out. It is when you say, God, this is what you have given me, and I'm giving it back to you, that it works. It is when you take your time and say, God, I give you my time today. I am going to sacrifice my time, that it works. Oh, yesterday, from about midday, some persons were here getting this place ready for our service this morning. Some of them were singers. Some of them were musicians. Some of them were decorators. Some of them were sound technicians. Some of them were streaming persons. They were all here giving their time to the kingdom of God. What do you have to give? Some were sweeping out, cleaning the floors. Some were here early in prayer meeting, travailing yesterday morning for the strength and the power of Waltham Park. What time are you giving? They not only gave their time, but they gave their talents. Do you think it is easy to take these little simple equipment and beam this service to the entire globe? You have to know what you're doing. You have to have brain. And a fool something this. The people that were sitting on right here, so them know how to do the computer, them know how to draw down things from outer space, them know how to manipulate it, them know, oh come on, they are using their talent for the kingdom of God. What do you have to give today? God says, whatever you have, I'm not even asking for all of it. And you are there complaining, oh, should I and should you? And is it in the Bible? And is it not in the Bible? Is it in the Old Testament? Is it in the New Testament? That's not what these guys did in the New Testament. In fact, the guys in the New Testament went above and beyond what the Old Testament required. Them go sell them property and give everything. Give myself away. Whoa, give myself away. So you stand with me everywhere. Can you?